Welcome to Intersection Live, the tax and accounting profession's premier podcast source, provided by the CPA Technology Advisor and ADP Small Business Services, supporting the accountant community. This is Tech to Go, a monthly fast-paced roundtable discussion with executive editor Darren Root and regular columnists of the CPA Technology Advisor. These thought leaders tackle current technology issues impacting the tax and accounting profession.
This is Darren Root, executive editor of the CPA Technology Advisor, and you are listening to episode 42 of Tech to Go. I would first like to thank our corporate sponsor, ADP, for today's sponsorship. I have my regular co-host today, all three of them here today, which is unusual as of late. I have Randy Johnston, the principal with K2 Enterprises. Welcome, Randy.
Thank you very much. Welcome to all, and we're pleased to be back at home after our heavy road trips. I know Darren and I were chatting about that, and we've got some updated information from around the country for you.
Absolutely, and we have Renee Lassert here today. Renee, we've put in the Eastern time zone today as opposed to the Pacific time zone, so welcome, Renee.
Thank you, Darren. Good to be back.
And Dave McClure, who is the president of the U.S. Internet Industry Association. So welcome, Dave.
Well, thank you. It's a lovely day here in the valley, and I'm playing around with my new iPad, so it should be a good day.
Ah, good deal. So you broke down and bought one.
No, actually, it's just an eval unit. I have mixed emotions about it. We'll talk about that later if there's time. But, yeah, I have to look at it. Everybody's got to look at it because it's going to redefine, I think, where we go with the next level of tablet computing.
Yeah, I agree. So, yeah, we'll tag on to the end of the discussion we're going to have here about that, because I've had a lot of discussion with a lot of people. It seems like there's a lot of people buying them as well. So, guys, what I'd like to talk a little bit about today is SaaS computing. And I know we've talked a lot about this in the past, but as all of you guys know, Intuit in the last couple of days have had some internet connectivity issues and server problems. Maybe it's not internet connectivity, but more server-related problems, and their systems have been down. So, Randy, maybe you could kind of lay out the framework of what's going on here so we can have a discussion around that.
Well, I'll do my best, but you know, the facts are not widely published for probably multiple reasons yet. But Intuit's services for online accounting, online payroll, and their website went down for varied length of outages, reported anywhere from 24 to 36 hours. And that was really after, unfortunately, Sage had had a website outage in the latter part of May. So this made it a pretty high-profile outage with two of the significant small business accounting software publishers to suffer an outage over about a three-week period here. And the consternation is the fear that I think comes from software as a service provider, in other words, using your application completely over the internet. What happens when those services go away?
You know, I'm going to put a plug in for SaaS just to start off with. And there's times in my practice that I've been down for 24 hours when all my stuff is hosted internally. You know, I try to avoid that. So, you know, I don't want to overreact to the fact that I don't expect a major vendor like Intuit to be down for 24 hours, obviously. But, you know, we could, all of us in our practices could be down for 24 or 36 hours quite easily. Would you agree with that, Renee?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's exactly the way I look at it when customers ask me about this. Is the you got to keep in perspective and the benefits that SaaS is bringing you. And so, you know, I think there's a lot of things that Intuit did wrong. The first thing is they picked a Tuesday night to do routine maintenance. Have payroll files out there, you never pick Tuesday because you know Wednesday to take people to payroll to get there by Friday. So, you know, you just don't do routine maintenance on a Tuesday night if you're going to be doing something like, you know, that could cause this type of problem. And you know, I think that my perspective is that you still, you know, what their issue was, I don't know if this is exactly what they've said yet. Like Randy said, there's still more to come out. I think the issue that really happened is they could have gotten the service back up immediately, but because something went horribly wrong, the data, they weren't sure the data had the integrity you needed to have. So in some ways, Intuit was trying to actually do right by the customer by going through and running queries and, you know, re-indexing, doing all the things that it takes hours and hours to do to check the data set before and after a problem like that. I think they should have told people that. You know, that's what I've heard through the backdoor channels that I know. I think they should have come out and said, you know, we found a problem and we're trying to make sure your data is correct. And if they said that, people would have been, I think, more comfortable in waiting for them to get it right. And they also said that any employee files, anything like that, you know, we're going to do this and that to make it better. So I guess, you know, my perspective, I would focus on the way Intuit handled this. They handled it horribly wrong and showed that they actually aren't as strong of a SaaS company as they should be, because you got to be prepared about how you handle something like this.
Yeah, and you know, publicly, what I've been saying about SaaS reliability, and I think, Darren, you tried to set the tone right. My belief is that the SaaS companies in general will do a better job than most of us could ever afford to do on our own local basis. That's true in security, it's true in availability, it's true in communication lines. And when you have trouble connecting to a provider like that, the chances are much higher that it'll be something local to you, your local internet provider, your local access, and so forth. But also, coming from historically, our listeners would have no reason to know this, but historically, I've managed mainframe data centers where you do not allow yourself to have downtime. You do scheduled downtime, typically in the middle of the night, and you just can't go out of production kind of no matter what. So when you think about the processes that it takes to keep something like this online 24 hours a day, you know, 365 days a year, you got to manage the environment much differently. Renee is absolutely dead on when I was listening to him talking about the, you know, making sure the data integrity is right. From a data center perspective, when you put that data back online, it has got to have integrity, and you've got to be sure that it's got integrity. Today, you can actually put a lot of systems in place that will ensure transactional integrity. And frankly, even in the 70s, we had transaction rollbacks. And trust me, I've managed transaction rollbacks more than once in my career, which is never a good day. But you can absolutely bring the databases back online and apply the transactions against them one by one until you're back in service.
You know, Davis, I'm sorry, Renee. Davis, president of the U.S. Internet Industry Association. I mean, how much? I don't quite understand the problem that Intuit had, so I'd like to get into that just a little bit in a second. But how much vulnerability, Dave, do we have to the internet just being a massive problem in general?
Well, I don't think there's a massive problem. As you know, I've been a critic of the whole idea of SaaS and cloud computing, but not for these reasons. I agree. I mean, I manage networks, and boy, I'll tell you, when the network goes down, it's not a matter of bringing it back up. It's bringing it back up with all your data intact. And gosh, if they occasionally have problems, that's the price you pay. If it were sitting on your desktop and you had complete control over it, you would still have times when you have a problem. Power outages are a good example. So I don't see this as a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's a big deal because it flies in the face of expectation. From the I don't think it's really a big deal, but I think it's a big deal because the expectation is that we're up all the time.
But the reality is that we live in an on-demand world where people's expectations are far higher than they have ever been before. I mean, the reality is, You can't get from point A to point B via a transporter yet, and that frustrates some people's expectations. So, you know, I think it's a tempest in a teapot. I'm sorry for the people who had to wait to run their payroll checks, but, you know, it's Friday, it's back up, payroll will be paid.
Yeah, so we don't have an internet backbone problem at all, do we, Dave?
I don't think we do. I mean, remember, we tend to think of the internet as one thing. It's like the internet, but it's not really. The internet is thousands of independent interconnected networks, And, you know, there's the old saying that the Internet perceives, you know, perceives any of these problems as damage and simply routes around it. And then, you know, so if we have a problem with a part of the Internet backbone, there are redundant backbones all over the country, and we just reroute the traffic. So, again, probably not a big deal, nothing we should lose sleep over.
Yeah. And, Renee, this, you know, my first thought was this was some sort of major hardware failure on Intuit's part, and they didn't have some sort of redundant backups. But it doesn't sound like that's the case either, right?
I don't think that was the case. You know, I think that, you know, I, you know, my first reaction was something similar, which is why does it take so long to come back up? But then, you know, I started thinking about it more, and, you know, I asked my guys, you know, why would anything take this long? They said they're not sure the data's right, and that's what I've heard through the grapevine. They weren't sure the data's right. So, you know, they should have kind of out. I mean, to me, this was a, you know, a complete, you know, completely handled incorrectly, where they should have been out there saying, we know what's wrong. We can't confirm that. Maybe they thought that would have scared people more, but I'm always a believer in transparency. You know, we're trying to ensure that your data is accurate and correct before we, you know, have you log in. You know, people would have understood, and that's important, right? So.
Absolutely. Randy, what's your take on the whole situation then?
Is that for me? I'm sorry.
Oh, I was asking Randy, but I didn't know if Randy, you still there?
Yeah, I am. I just actually had a mute, so you would not have background noise. Sorry about that.
Oh, sorry about that.
You know, as it turns out, without enough facts to really judge what happened, you know, we're shooting a little bit in the dark. Not unlike you, Darren, initially I had heard that it was a hardware level, you know, problem, and then it's not so clear as more facts have come out. It's kind of like our oil spill down in the Gulf, you know, as more facts have come out. Your opinion of what's going on has changed. So I don't know that we have enough to actually diagnose the situation yet.
Yeah, and that's point is that we should have that by now. I mean, you know, maybe on Wednesday night they were kind of trying to figure it out, but it's now Friday.
Yeah, and you know, Renee, as you think that one through, and obviously you've been in the business, so you would be thinking about how you would have done it personally too. Trying to put the right spin on this, in other words, saying the right things becomes awful tantamount in many of these situations. I know I probably think about it too much like a small business person and a little too straightforward, but I pretty much just tell the truth. Here's the facts. Here's what happened. We were right. We were wrong. We screwed up. We didn't. And that's always served me pretty well. So I tend not to be trying to filter in how I'm going to spin it. I just try to say, here's the facts I best we understand at this point in time. If we get new facts, you'll hear those.
I'm thinking about putting you. I'm going to put Randy up for public office at this point, because if we can get that, I'm all for that.
Yeah.
Randy, I've spent a whole lot of years in crisis communications, Randy.
Yeah,
including 8 years with the space shuttle program right up to Challenger. So I can tell you this, a lot of times you simply don't know.
Exactly.
And a lot of times if you are out there and open and honest, which you and I wish they all would be, but we're atypical. We understand the technology. We are there. We're right there with them. We've done their jobs. We understand what they do. And if they stand up and say, well, gee, at this point it looks like a hardware failure, then everyone jumps on them for having the wrong hardware. If they say, gosh, we're not sure, everyone jumps on them for not being sure. Oftentimes corporations take the path of saying, look, we're not going to say anything until we are 100% sure of what the facts are, because everything else is speculation, and it just it opens us to vulnerabilities. And as much as I would love for them to be open and honest about everything, I'd rather they be open and honest with facts they're sure of and not facts they're not sure of. I mean, that was just my opinion.
Agreed. And, of course, the liability increase if they say the wrong things are clearly in play. And likewise, they may not have the facts straight. So, again, I'd rather have facts. And it is really hard to stand up and say, I don't know. And, you know, that's one of the hardest things to say. You know, at this time, we just don't know yet. I'm sorry.
But, yeah. I guess my point would be, and the way I run my companies is if you don't have the message out there, other people like us are spinning it, right? And we're trying to say, wait, we really don't know. But there are a lot of people in the press that aren't saying that. And, you know, the result is that, unfortunately, this will become a point for other people to say SaaS isn't ready for prime time or whatever. And it's going to hurt Intuit's ability to acquire customers in the space because they don't look like they're ready for prime time. Salesforce hasn't ever been down for, you know, 24 hours as an example, right? So
yeah.
They've had their outages, but, you know, you lose a lot of credibility. Whereas if they came out and said, we're not exactly sure what it is. It was, you know, we know it's not this or that, and we're trying to ensure the integrity of the data. And, you know, it's hard when you've got 200,000 customers, you know, to make sure that that's right. Then people would know, and then you can continue to tell the story as you learn it. But by leaving it in the void, I think you're creating, you know, they're hurting themselves. So,
you know, one of my biggest concerns is that, you know, a lot of small practitioners that, you know, all you guys know these guys, you know, they're not quick to move anyway. And I don't want to give them a reason to say, now see, I shouldn't be moving into the clouds anyway, and put their brakes on for another 5 years, because I still find value in a lot of these firms being in the clouds from a lot of respects. I mean, their offices aren't very secure, their networks aren't very secure, all those things that make sense for them to be in the clouds. I don't want them to use this as an excuse to stop being proactively looking at these new solutions. Randy, what's your take on that?
Yeah, you know, if it was an irrational response to say, we're not going to go here, I would be almost as strongly opposed to that. I think for the right businesses with the right planning and strategy, SaaS can be a far superior approach based on what many CPA firms have as their security, as their backup systems, as their ability to recover in a business continuity situation. These vendors that are providing SaaS services have far better offerings for them, but you didn't hear in that we were going to be up 100% of the time, because technology can and will fail, and it will usually fail at the worst possible moment.
But the best part of Intuit's situation is that the data is back up and they have verified the integrity, and that is something that we can't do in our offices very well as small practitioners.
Very hard to do well in a small office because, number one, you don't have the IT skill set. Number two, you don't have the tools. Number three, you may not recognize the problem. And we go through a whole litany there. I am amazed how many times in network installations and conversions we find wildly corrupted data that people were putting up with because they just didn't know any better, that we find viruses, that we find all sorts of bad things throughout firms' information, but they're just clueless.
Yeah, I agree. Renee, what's your whole SaaS take? Because I suspect we're going to get a lot of people listen to this podcast, because I know as CPA Technology Advisor, we're going to be directing people to listen to this podcast so they have some understanding of what's going on here. So what's your take on this?
Well, I think it's, like I said at the beginning, I think it's more of a PR issue for Intuit than an indictment on SaaS as a whole. I think SaaS as a whole, for all the reasons that we've talked about over and over again, it's considerably better for our listeners than the solutions they're doing on their own. And even for those people that are using Intuit products, you know, if they're on QuickBooks Online or the online payroll platform or the QuickBase, any of the tools that went down, those tools are updated real time all the time, and they have a better experience. You know, the data is backed up, like you said. It is in a secure environment. You know, I don't know how many small business customers, I mean, I said this at the last accounting show, was that where I walk in and talk to the main partner of the accounting firm and ask them, you know, where's your tech stock? And they say, oh, right here, and they open up a drawer and it's unlocked, and it's right there for the office manager and the receptionist, anybody to get to it. You know, that's an example of the security that, you know, folks are putting into their offices. You know, they need to do better than that, and SaaS is way better than that. So I think, you know, you could go with the tact that, you know, P.T. Barnum once said, as long as you get, you know, spell the name right, then it's better to get publicity than to not have it, right? So for me, this is just a reminder that, you know, these things can happen, and they can happen to people when they're using desktop software. and you can have a fire burn down, and then your hose is for, you know, a week, right? And so there's so many different ways to look at this, and, you know, it's I think it's good that Intuit actually wanted to validate the systems and make sure they're right. I think, again, it was, you know, if when they posted this information, you know, back on Wednesday night saying, hey, you know, we're making good progress, they had said, you know, what they said, I don't know if you guys saw this, but the, you know, what they said is, we're working to diligently to validate our systems. So I think that's code for saying we're, you know, making sure the database is right and that your customer data is. And I think if they had said that, if they said it in language that people understood, people would have given them a little bit more slack.
Yeah, good point. Dave, how about you? What's your overall take?
Bottom line is nobody died, okay? But we try to do everything as perfectly as we can do it. I understand it's a PR problem for them, but they did the right things. They did their best to get everything back up and running to ensure that the system maintained its integrity. And I don't think anybody was badly wounded about this.
Yeah.
They were inconvenienced, but that's a whole different matter. I guess I have to give Intuit good marks for this. It was a bad problem. I'm sorry it happened to them. It's happened to me in my networks. And God forbid, because you sweat bullets every minute till you get back up and restored. But the end of the day is there wasn't harm here.
Yeah. Good
you know,
point.
One thing
that
Intuit could have done, which they didn't do, and something that, you know, that I would have done, which is to say, immediately, if there's any you know, penalties or late fees because people don't make payroll, we'll pay them. You know?
Yeah,
and
good point.
They could have said that, and it wouldn't cost. It doesn't cost a lot of money because the chances are that most people are not living that close, paycheck to paycheck. That if the payday comes in on Monday instead of Friday, I mean, you know, it could have handled it. But I think in a big company, people lose sight and say, "Oh my God, the liability for this could be huge." But in the end, you know, people are now talking about it, and if they had done something like that, we would have been saying, "Wow, what a great company!" Of course, Jim happens. Choose the friends, right? You know,
I'll agree with that. Good point, Renee.
Well, good topic, and I'm sure we're going to drive a lot of traffic to this podcast just so we can get small firms, you know, understanding the problem, and, you know, from at least from our perspective, guys. Before we close today, let's talk just briefly, Dave, about your experience with your iPad.
You know, it's very interesting. As you know, I've been working as a volunteer with our local county government, which the IT is a mess here. If it's this bad in every county in America, it explains a lot about government. It truly is a mess. And one of the points we had to make is we discovered for the six members of the Board of Supervisors for the county to support them with all the paperwork they need costs about $50,000 over a four-year term. That's people collecting stuff, collating stuff, copying it, putting together a briefing binder. They get these massive binders that must kill, you know, a tree every 2 weeks. And so we sat back and we began to look at the process of how you automate that in a way that makes sense. We went to the standard county laptop, which is a hardened, reinforced, you know, don't damage if you drop it kind of laptop, for about, you know, $1,600. And when you put software on top of that and training on top of that, you're talking $2,500 across six people. That's not bad, but it's not great. Then we looked at the low-end netbooks, $300 jobs. Well, they don't come equipped with software that would enable them to log into the reinforced county network or to do all the things they needed to do. By the time we added it up, they were no deal at all. And then the iPad comes along. It's a tablet notebook. I believe it's the first of a new generation of tablets that may well rewrite the whole PC computing experience. Personally, I don't like it. It's too frilly. It's too something. Remember that line from Amadeus where they said, well, you know, Mozart's music has too many notes? Well, I kind of feel the same way about the iPad, but it's sitting out there for $600. Does everything a normal laptop could do and maybe a little more? We've got to look at it. We've got to assess it, and that's where I'm at right now. I've got a unit. We're going to assess it. We're going to send it out to department heads. We're going to send it out to the county sheriff's department, see what they can do with it that makes a whole lot of sense. Randy, I'd love to hear your take on this.
Well, you know, I've got everybody on my K2 team carrying an iPad now, and to me, the key thing that made the product more useful from a business perspective was Citrix enablement. So although that's a short-term push, we now have all of our PC applications running on the iPad effectively. And, you know, on our prior podcast, I said, look, I can see how I'd use it as a home device. No worries there. I like traveling with it for email and note-taking and internet access, some of the things that it does very well. I see it in certain industries. Healthcare is a great example. I'm still a little more pushed besides just convenience, productivity, to see it in a lot of the accounting applications. And that's what I'm doing, is trying to figure out, okay, where else can we make this work well as a business unit? We're really thinking about the iPad as a mobile internet device and less of a computer. It's not a netbook replacement. It's not a laptop replacement. It's a different thing, and this different thing may well have a position. At this point, though, I'm still not broadly recommended for business purposes because I can't justify its current position versus, let's say, a netbook for $100 and a half less.
Yeah.
I agree, but very often the netbooks, Randy, what I've found is they come with Windows 7 Home Edition, which
yes.
is, in my mind, crippled software.
Yep.
And
yep.
if the netbook does not run Windows 7 Professional, you've got a real problem. And that's but overall, I agree 100% with you. That's exactly where we're at, too. We like it. It's a mid-range machine. Now we're trying to figure out where it fits.
Yeah, and see, with the netbooks, we actually reload the netbooks all with Windows 7 Enterprise, so we wind up with a little better security and some other things on it. But, you know, I believe that the product represents a new wave of useful technology, and right now, like so many things, the home technology, if you will, is leading the business edge, and we're going to figure out how to use it more, just like the iPhone has led us down a new path on the phone side too.
And I was just gonna, from my perspective, I've got one. I use it at home. I do use it for business, but not on the day to day. You know, kind of the same points that Randy and Dave are making. But the thing that this points out to me is kind of, you know, what this whole conversation was about was SaaS, and you know, we are getting more and more portable with the way we do our work, and you have to have a SaaS application to be able to do that. So, you know, I think as the iPad becomes part of the business world, you know, 3 years down the line, 5 years down the line, you're going to need your data. You know, you're going to have a lot more opportunities for these devices, and that's the whole reason the iPad works today, and it didn't work 10 years ago. It's because you've got the internet, right? And you've got this ability to be able to, you know, look at everything. You can look at your email account no matter where you're at because it's, you know, probably hosted on some cloud-based email service. So I think it's pretty interesting to think about where the iPad is going to take us in general. Just, you know, the cloud allows us to use more functional tools than what we had before.
Well, you know, I bought my wife one yesterday, and she's not technologically savvy at any level. That's just not her thing. But she wanted one, so I bought one yesterday, and she actually made the connection, which I found interesting, between, you know, watching Good Morning America and having surface computing, you know, when they're doing the election things and also dealing with the Gulf crisis and all that. And she made the connection between the iPad being surface computing and what she sees on TV as being surface computing. And so I think it's going to bring surface computing into the mainstream. I mean, granted, I understand that the iPhone has been there, but I don't think it's as direct of a correlation as the iPad has been, which brings up the other thing. I ordered my new iPhone this week and should have it July 14th.
Good for you.
So yeah, should be good to go.
The size of the iPad is, you know, it's it's interesting how size does matter, and it's just enough real estate that you can really, you know, use the web effectively, right? So the iPhone just still is too small. I mean, you can use it in a pinch, but you can't really do the business applications that we're talking about are going to be hard to actually do on the iPhone.
Yeah. Great.
Now, for what it's worth, is one little bit of closure. Speaking of applications, though, I have seen Peachtree running on a BlackBerry this week, and it was phenomenal. And so when I start thinking about this transitional piece, there are vendors and products that are being written to run on these small platforms, and they're not like they're in a browser. They are for the platform itself. Think it's the apps. And when I see products like Peachtree running on a BlackBerry, I'm saying, that is bloody cool. So there's a whole new realm ahead of us with this SaaS mobile internet accessibility that I don't know that we can even dream of yet.
Yeah, agreed. Well, gentlemen, we're out of time today. Thanks for your time. Renee, enjoy your time on the East Coast.
Did Randy just say bloody cool?
He may be just back from over from the other side of the pond or something.
I guess he is.
He's got an Australian background in me, and you know, I say things like hoff and niggle also. So,
all right, guys, thanks for your time today. Have a great month. And again, I want to thank ADP for sponsoring our podcast. Thanks, guys.
Goodbye.
Good day, all.
The CPA Technology Advisors Intersection Live podcast series is brought to you by ADP Small Business Services, supporting the accountant community. For more information about the CPA Technology Advisors' other podcast programs, webcasts, and our e-newsletter, visit cpatechnologyadvisor.com. To ask questions or leave comments about our podcasts, call 800-456-0864, extension 2106. Or tune in to future episodes where you're able to ask questions live via talkshoe.com.